come in your presence right now. I ask you to have your way here today. I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. We lift and magnify you because you alone are worthy of it all. I ask you to just take this little message I'm going to share today and just pour yourself through it, Father, or pour yourself out of me to give it. Let your anointing rest on it, and we give you all praise and glory, and we thank you ahead of time because this whole thing's all about you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. I should probably put on some glasses. I'm going to kind of read you a little bit of a joke, and don't get mad at me because it's kind of a political joke, and I don't normally say political stuff too much. But I thought this was kind of funny because it really kind of rings true. One day a florist went to a barber for a haircut. And after the cut, he asked about his bill. And the barber replied, "I cannot accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week." And a florist came and he was pleased. And he got a haircut, and the barber told him the same thing. He said, "I can't accept money because I'm doing community service this week." Well, the next day there was flowers laying at the front of the door, a whole bunch of flowers. And then after that, a policeman came by. And he got a haircut, and he was offering to pay. And he told the policeman, he says, "I can't accept your money because I'm doing community service this week." And the next morning, there was a dozen donuts sitting at the door. You know that joke about cops eating donuts? But after that, after the donut situation, then a member of Congress came for a haircut. And when he went to pay his bill, the barber again replied, "I cannot accept money from you. I'm doing community service this week." The member of Congress was very happy and left the shop. The next morning when the barber went to open up, there were a dozen members of Congress lined up waiting for a free haircut. Politicians always looking for something, ain't they? Usually they say they're helping you, but they're actually helping themselves most of the time, all of them. Praise the Lord. I thought that was funny. I liked it. Well, praise God. Praise God. The title to my sermon today is, "He is Our Very Life." Praise God. You know, some of this I'm going to be reading scriptures, and some of it I'm going to just be what my thoughts were. The Lord will finish what He started in our lives. He's working in our lives even when we don't realize it. And I got news for you. Before you might think you chose the Lord, but He knew exactly what was going to be happening in your life that would get you to make that choice. And a lot of it, I believe, He orchestrated it by His Spirit. You know, He works through our victories and our defeats, our joys and our sufferings. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And you know, try as hard as you might to finish your faith, you can't finish it. He has to finish it in you. You know, the Word declares that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me within. It also declares that we are conquerors and that we're victorious in Him. We must come to the place where we believe that His Word, what His Word declares, that we might receive the power and the authority that is given to us in Him. You know, a lot of times we don't have power in situations because we don't believe it. I said to you last week, when you come in here, you need to come in here with a sense of anticipation. Anticipating what God's going to do. Don't come in here thinking, "Oh, well, I got to listen to the old preacher again today." Come in here and say, "God, what would you speak to my heart today? I'm expecting to receive from you. I'm expecting to hear something from you." And I'm going to tell you what, if you pray that kind of a prayer, you'll get something. And sometimes you'll walk away and you won't even know you got what you got until the opportunity comes up where you need it. And then once the opportunity, and I say opportunity because it's not always a problem, but it's just an opportunity, because problems in God are opportunities. They're opportunities for you to step a little higher in Him. You know, Clyde preached a sermon one time about that, about stepping up each time. And you know what? We need to step up in the Lord. We need to believe that everything that happens, there's nothing that catches God by surprise. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. In 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7 says this, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus." That's the only place where you're going to get that knowledge, in His face. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, even when God's moving through you, in you, and out of you, it's really not that old you. It's that new you, the hidden man of the heart. It's the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit inside of you. We never need to lose sight of where life comes from. It all emanates from God." You know, I read this story one time, and I think I've shared this in another sermon to you, but that's all right. It'll do you good to hear it again. I read this story, and it was about Alexander the Great, you know. And when he was a young boy, his father purchased a spirited horse. You know, I know what a spirited horse is, because my Uncle Fred, he had two horses. He had Trigger and he had Champ. And my cousin Freddie, Champ was his. It was a Pinto. And Uncle Fred's was a Golden Palomino. Uncle Fred was a big fan of Roy Rogers, you know. And Trigger was very spirited. And I've watched times, because when I'd go out there and stay in the summertime, we would go out and water the horses and sometimes put feed in the stall or whatever, you know. And I always enjoyed times out there, because Uncle Fred was kind of like a father that I didn't have, because my father died when I was 4. So Clyde's kind of in the same kind of situation. His father died when he was young. And, you know, I thank God that God allowed my mother to be both mother and father. And He allowed her to be strong when she needed to be strong, but He also allowed her to be tender when she needed to be tender. And that's where I really got my depiction of God, from my mother, because I realized that God is both strong and He's both merciful and tender-hearted also. And anyway, just to continue on with that story, that horse he had, Trigger, was pretty rambunctious. I don't know how many people rode Trigger that much other than Uncle Fred. And I rode on the back of Trigger a couple times when Uncle Fred we'd go out riding, and Freddie'd be riding Champ, and I'd ride on the back of Trigger. And let me tell you something. If you ride on the back of a horse, make sure you put a blanket underneath you. Because, boy, by the time we got home, I was so chafed in my legs from that sweat from that horse. And I didn't think, and he didn't think, to put a blanket back there. But anyway, Trigger was the kind of horse that, I tell you, Uncle Fred was kind of a man's man. You know what I mean? He was a tough guy, and he was a man's man. And when you'd watch Trigger sometimes, when we'd go down to the stall, if he'd be in the stall, because they had a pretty good-sized field out there that the horses could run around in, and you'd watch Trigger. I seen a cat try to walk through the stall, and I'd see Trigger try to stomp it. I mean, he was going to kill that cat, you know. And the other horse just didn't pay no attention to it. You know what I mean? But I also seen Uncle Fred get on Trigger and, you know, give him the sign. I don't know, remember what he's, Haw and Gee and all that kind of stuff they say to him. I don't even remember what it meant. But he'd pull the reins back for Trigger to back up. And Trigger didn't back up. And Uncle Fred pulled the reins again. And you know, they got to have a bit in a horse's mouth. And when they pull on that bit, it's uncomfortable for that horse. You know what I mean? And that's how you can control a horse, because they got that bit in their mouth. And he pulled on that bit again. Trigger still didn't back up. And Uncle Fred pulled it really hard. And he pulled it so hard he broke the leather piece on the one side. Well, he got down off of that. He got down off of that, that horse and took the bridle off of him and whipped the far out of him. I mean, buddy, he whipped him, you know. He went and got another bridle and put it on that horse. He climbed back on it, and he pulled for it to back up, and that sucker backed up quick. But I'm going to tell you what, the Lord was just showing me there, whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. And if you endure without chastisement, you're bastards, you're illegitimate children. And you know what? Sometimes God has to yank us pretty hard to get us to back up. And sometimes if we don't back up, he's got to get down and give us a little whipping. Well, anyway, this story with Alexander the Great, when he was a boy, the father purchased that spirited horse. And the best horseman in the kingdom could not manage the animal. They tried everything, and this horse just would not do what they wanted it to do. And finally, young Alexander, who was just a boy, took charge of the horse. And all of a sudden, he was managing it very easily. And they were astounded. They thought, how's this boy managing this horse? And here our best horseman couldn't get this horse to do what they wanted it to do. And they asked him to explain his power. And here's what he said. He said, I noticed that that horse was afraid of his own shadow. And as long as he could see his shadow, he was sketchy and he wasn't going to do anything that anybody wanted him to do. It says, but when I kept his face towards the sun, he was unafraid. And I'm going to tell you what, when you keep your face toward the S-O-N, sun, you don't have to be afraid. I don't care what's going on in your life, all of a sudden, things will get better, no matter what it is. God's got you in the palm of his hand, and no man can pluck you out of his hand. Just like what Clyde was saying before. I believe he kind of mentioned that. And I'm going to tell you what. You keep your eyes firmly planted on him. You do what you feel he's telling you to do. And you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you'll be doing exactly what he wants you to do. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it says, you know, Christians become frightened at the shadows because they look away from the light. We need to keep our focus on the Lord, and we will find by doing so that this, and I'm going to give you a scripture, Isaiah 26:3, that God will keep him perfect who's in peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in him. And if you're finding yourself not being peaceful, not finding peace in your life, maybe it's because your mind hasn't been stayed on him. You're looking at the shadows. You're looking at the things out there and the things over here and the things that really have no life in them. And I'm going to tell you what, everything that's not of God is not life. It'll sap the life away from you. You know, we used to sing a song in the church, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus," was the words. "Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." I love that. That's a beautiful song. And man, it's a true. You could just sing that song over and over and over, and you just preached a tremendous word. Praise God. We need to quit observing the shadows of those things that would distract us from the glory and the knowledge of God and even cause us to stumble at times. Thank God that His grace is always sufficient and He is our ever-present help in time of need. You know, Jesus prayed, and I shared some of this back in Sunday school when we were talking about one of the Beatitudes. We was talking about, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Wow. And that word for sons there is the word weos, which is, there's different words for children and son. And it's not children, it's son. And weos was used in the Greek whenever it talked about Jesus being the Son of God. It's talking about a mature son. And anyway, I just want you to know that you will become a peacemaker, not an agitator, not a stirrer upper, but a peacemaker when your mind is stayed on Him, because He is the Prince of Peace. You know, I'm going to read you Jesus' prayer. Jesus in King James, and this is John 17:20-24. And this is what he said: I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word. And I got news for you. Your word, when you speak the word of the Lord, it's Jesus speaking. It's not just you, it's Him speaking through you. And they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also may all be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, I'm going to tell you what. You can send evangelists all over the world. You can do all kind of things to try to convince the world out there that Jesus is real and that His life is really, He gave His life for you. And sometimes you won't be able to convince anybody. But when the church starts standing up as one in Him, then the world will believe. And that's what the next thing that God's going to have to start doing in our lives, we're going to have to start growing up into the oneness of Him. And when we, you know, in Revelations, when John saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, he described Him, and you know, His hair was white like wool, His eyes were like a flame of fire, you know, and he described all these different things. And he described, you know, this paps being girt about with gold, which paps is really a sign for female breasts. And, you know, His feet were like brass, you know, they've been burnished in the fire or whatever. And then in the book of Daniel, Daniel had the same vision of God, except the pap, instead of the paps being girded about with gold, what Daniel said was girded about with gold was the loins. And God, and gold talks about the divine nature of God, the incorruptible nature of God. Gold doesn't corrupt. You know, that's why it's so precious, and that's why everybody wants to hang on to the gold. And there used to be an old saying, he that has the gold makes the rules. Well, to a certain extent that's true, but we know who really makes the rules: God. And, you know, anyway, what God was showing back in Daniel was that He was going to birth something into the earth. And when back in the book of Daniel, when he described his voice was as the voice of a great multitude. And you know what that great multitude was doing? Speaking the same thing. And I'm going to tell you, the churches ain't quite there yet. They're getting there, but they ain't quite there yet in the world out here today. When John saw his revelation of Jesus Christ, he said when he spoke, his voice was as the voice of many waters. He said, out of your innermost being shall flow, what? Rivers of living water. And until the church grows up enough to where they start pouring forth the water of life to creation, the forgiveness, the love, the mercy, all of those things that we've been talking about back there in Sunday school about the Beatitudes. And if you ain't been back there, you missed it. But you can go online and listen to it if you want. But I'm just telling you, and we just touched on it very lightly. But I'm telling you what, he prayed that they would be one. I'm gonna start reading that again. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given it to them, that they might be one just as we are one. Now, you might not feel like you have glory, but I'm going to tell you what, it's there. You just aren't functioning in it at times. And I'll tell you what, one of the words for glory is the word doxa in the Greek. And it means glory as being very apparent. Very apparent. You know, when Jesus walked into a town, they didn't have any loudspeakers. They didn't have any TV. They didn't have any radio. They didn't have any of those things back then. But I'm going to tell you what, when he walked in and he walked up into the mount and began to start teaching them, how many thousands were there? There was 4,000 one time, and another time there was about 5,000 or so. So it happened more than once, you know. And after he had spoke, and imagine this, trying to speak to 5,000 people with no microphone, no nothing else. Clyde might have been able to do that because his name means heard from afar. Clyde, that's good. That's a good thing, Clyde. You got a booming voice. I got kind of a quiet voice. Sometimes I'll be talking to Margaret, and she'll say, "What'd you say? What'd you say?" I say, "Well, I have to." And her hearing is okay. It's not her hearing. I don't talk real loud most of the time. I get to talk a little louder when I get up here. But anyway, imagine that. He could get up on the mountain and start talking to 4,000 people, and they heard the word. I mean, wow. You think that wasn't miraculous? That was miraculous. And then not only that, after they had tarried with him for a long time, what did he say? He said to his disciples, he said, give them to eat. And they said, "Master, what are we going to get all this food? I mean, look at this massive amount of people." They said, you know, so many pennies worth of bread wouldn't even begin to touch it. He said, "All we got here is a little boy. He's got a couple fishes and a couple few loaves." And what did he say? He said, "Have them all sit down." And he said, "And you take it and start dispensing it." Now, I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how much you think you got or how much you think you ain't got, in God, it's enough. He tells you to do something, it's exactly enough. And it's actually going to be abundantly above enough. And what he did, instead of him handing it out, where did he put it at? In the hands of the disciples, and let them hand it out. And he said, "And when you're done, don't let anything go to waste." And I'm going to tell you what, God's not a wasteful God. Everything that he gives out, it has a purpose. And there's never going to be waste in it. It's going to be exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask. And that's exactly what happened. All of a sudden, they took up 12 loaves. 12 loaves. I mean, 12 baskets full. Baskets full, yeah. Of fish and loaves. Now, they didn't have 12 baskets when they started, but they had way more when they started. And what they only had a few fish and a few loaves. And 12 is the number in Scripture for governmental perfection. And I'm going to tell you what, when he puts things in your hand, you do what he tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, and how he tells you to do it, and don't deviate from that. You know, I think where a lot of preachers get in trouble is that they start trying to do more than what God told them to do. You know, I give a prophetic word, and I've shared this before. I gave a prophetic word to a certain brother one time and his wife. And I gave him that word, and that was the word the Lord gave me. And as sure as I'm standing here right now, I know that God gave me that word to give to them. And I had somebody come to me and say, well, you know, one of the brothers who used to come to church here said, if you was really doing what God told you to do, you'd have went and followed through and make sure that everything was happening like you said and all. I said, let me tell you something, brother. He said, what's that? And this was an elder I was talking to. I said, let me tell you something. I said, when God gives you a word for somebody, you give them that word and give them that word only. I said, and then leave it in the hands of God. I said, if you start going out trying to make it happen, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a big, nasty mess is what's going to happen. Things are going to get out of balance. And this same person who had said that to that elder of the church, that what this guy wasn't coming to church, he hadn't been to church for years. This very same guy gave a prophetic word to one of the young men in our church at that time and sent him out into something that he wasn't ready to go out into. He ended up losing his job, he ended up losing his health, and he ended up losing his family. Because what? God didn't tell him to do that. Let me tell you something. Anytime that you get a word from somebody, if it doesn't witness to the word in you, because prophecy and a word of knowledge should always be a confirming word. Not a directive word, a confirming word. It's given to edify the body of Christ, to build up the body of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, if God tells you to do something, I'll be the first one to say, go do it. Go do it. Do exactly what he tells you. But if he's not telling you to do that and somebody else is telling you, you better wait until you hear from him. Okay? Go ahead.
That's why the Bible says that when you go out and do that, make sure somebody's there to witness you. They're not witnessing it. They're
right.
Judging it.
Right.
That's what they're doing. That's why a lot of people like to do that one-on-one, like it's a secret.
Yeah.
We never have to be ashamed of the living word of God. When God encourages you or comes upon you in his word,
yeah,
take it to the bank, but make sure you have a witness that told you to go do what you were doing. Okay? Because that's for our protection, right?
That's right. That's right. And see, to be honest with you, somebody should never come and give you a word without there being some people around who are kind of spiritually mature to judge that word. Because I'm telling you what, you can go down the wrong road real fast. But I'll say this. Anytime that God gives you a word, a prophetic word, it will be a confirming word. You know, it's funny because God uses me prophetically sometimes. And, you know, it seems like a lot of times when visiting ministers come in here. That's when he really uses me the most prophetically. And one of the brothers who's been coming here for years off and on, he came in here one time. And he was sitting up on the platform with me. And I said, brother, I feel like the Lord's give me a word for you and for your wife too. And I told him, I said, and I think he had the impression that we never prophesied to each other or nothing. You know, I think he had that impression. But I think it kind of shocked him. And I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me to tell you. And I did. And then about, maybe 2 or 3 days later, Jim got a call from him. He says, did you guys record that word? And Jim asked me, and I said, no, we didn't. And now, normally, if we know somebody's going to have a prophetic word, we do record it, and it's usually on a CD. But anyway, he said to me, he says, is there any way you can recall that? And I said, I don't know. I said, because I'll tell you the truth, when God gives me a prophetic word for somebody, I put it out of my mind after I give it. I said, because I don't want to be trying to figure it out. And I don't want them coming to me and say, well, Oscar, what does this mean? Because unless God gives me the interpretation of it, I don't want it. That's between them and God. And anyway, I said, well, I'll pray about it. And I went and I prayed about it. And the Lord did bring it back. And I wrote it down and I gave it to Brother Jim, and he sent it on to the minister. And I told Jim, I said, well, why did he want that? He said, because, and this will witness to you guys, he said, because he had been three different places and had got the exact same prophecy. Three different churches, three different areas. Okay? And I can tell you basically what it said. I don't remember it all, but I can tell you basically part of it was that the Lord told him to get his sandals on because he was going to send him out. Yes. And he went over to Europe after that and went to different places over in Europe and all that kind of stuff. And God was using him pretty good. And then I don't know what happened, but later on when he came back years later, his health went, he almost died. And I'm not sure, sometimes God will allow stuff like that to happen to you to set you down and set you aside. We had a situation one time with our brother Eddie, where Clyde can tell you this, because I think you went and ministered to him at the hospital, didn't you, Clyde, when he broke his leg or foot or whatever that was. Yeah, and, you know, he needed to take some breaks. He needed a break. And you know what? He got a break, a literal break, and he had to sit down and set aside for a while. And I can tell you, when I was a fairly young Christian, I knew God had his hand on me. I knew he had his hand on me to speak and teach and do stuff. I wasn't doing that. I was playing softball on Saturdays and Sundays and stuff. And I can tell you that I'd rode a motorcycle, and I told you I got hurt on that motorcycle at the time, broke my ankle, got a compound fracture. But I had rode a motorcycle for years. I mean, a lot of times. And my brother-in-law had borrowed my motorcycle, and it was in October. We were still playing. We just had won championship in softball. And he borrowed my motorcycle. Well, he brought it back, and it was cold-natured. And I actually had been praying before this ever happened, and I'd been praying, Lord, I'm so tired and so wore out and feel so spiritually depleted that I don't know how much longer I can go on like this. Now, that's what I prayed. Now, that's almost exactly word for word what I prayed and told the Lord. So I go down to put the motorcycle up. It's sitting on the street. Mark says, Dad, can I ride down the street with you when you do it? And I said, well, sure. So he gets on the back of the motorcycle, and I start down the street, and it's running, but I didn't let it warm up. So I started back up the street, and it started bogging. Well, I gave it a little bit too much gas, and the front wheel popped up in the air about that high off the ground. Well, I think I scared Mark because it kind of flung me backwards a little bit. He was just a little boy. And he grabbed me real tight and yanked me back. And I cracked the throttle wide open when he did that. And it went straight up in the air and fell over and landed on my ankle. Well, guess what? I got a broken ankle, compound fracture. I had just told the Lord, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can go on like this. I was mentally, physically, and spiritually exhausted, you know. And guess what? I had to lay on the couch for 6 weeks. I didn't have a walking cast, wasn't supposed to put any weight on it. I couldn't go to work because I ran a machine. And I couldn't navigate running a machine doing that because that water would get on the floor and all that kind of stuff. So I had to lay on the couch for 6 weeks. But I tell you what, in that 6 weeks, God had lined everything up to where all my bills got paid. I got some things paid that I didn't even know I had insurance on and different things. And Margaret got some work where she got a chance to work with Barb, and they got real busy and was doing all kind of stuff. And we never missed a stroke. Never had a late bill, never had anything go wrong. Now, I got to lay on the couch for 6 weeks. And Brother Eddie came and visited me at the hospital. And when I talked to him, I decided I was going to get back into church. And, you know, because I'd been saved for a little while, and I was going to get back into church and put all that other stuff aside, you know. Well, let me tell you, I never felt so renewed and so rested after that 6 weeks. And I'm going to tell you what, God has a tendency, sometimes He slows you down. He sets you down. Brother Eddie, I know he was wore out. He was. I think at times he was getting burnout. You know what I mean? He said it a few times. And he went out. He went out of the church. It was raining or something, wasn't it? He missed a step, fell, and broke his leg. Well, he was laid up. Well, Clyde went to the hospital, and I think you gave him a word, didn't you, Clyde? Yeah. Do you remember what it was? Yeah.
So the rest of the body can grow up and become part of the body, an active body. Some people didn't. I had a person take my hand and throw it down.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? It don't make no difference what other people think. When you give somebody the word that God gave you to give them, that's all you can do. You're not responsible for the outcome of it. You're only responsible for being obedient to what God tells you to do. And you'll understand, as I pray for a couple of you when we get done here, you'll understand why I say that. Because there's some of you that have a prophetic anointing on you, and you need to start flowing in it as God allows you to flow in it. Okay? Well, anyway, I'm going to read you the rest of this. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. And that's the full circle. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have to start believing not only is He in you, you're in Him. Until you start believing you're in Him, you won't grow as much as you would have. And that they might all be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given it to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they be made perfect in one. There's that word perfect. And that word perfect has part of the meaning of a full-age man. A full-age man. And Sean's going to tell you guys something on the way home. We were talking about you guys. You ask a question, he's going to answer it for you. That you may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they whom you gave to me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. You know what the glory that he took back was? He was one with the Father. That's why he could say to the doubting one, when you've seen me, you've seen who? The Father. He was the Father standing right there in front of him because he had the Spirit without measure. He had the fullness of the presence of God inside of him. And when he spoke, it was God speaking. Praise God. But I tell you what, the glory that he gave us was the glory of sonship. He gave us the glory of sonship. And that's why it says in Romans the 8th chapter that to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. But in Romans the 8th chapter, it says, all creation is groaning and travailing, waiting. They're waiting. And some translations say they're standing on tiptoe. You know when you stand on tiptoe? Because, man, you want to see. You can't. They're standing on tiptoe. That's why they're so unbalanced. That's why they're about to fall over half the time out there and everything in the world gets so screwed up. They're standing on tiptoe waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, the taking the lid off that His glory will begin to be seen in the sons of God, not just in Jesus. Jesus said He was the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, brethren. That's you. He's going to take the lid off of you someday, and the glory that's going to pop out of there is going to set creation free. So don't be discouraged when he allows some things to come into your life that try you. He allows some things to come at you that maybe even some sicknesses once in a while. He don't make you sick. He allows it. He allows some of these things. I said to Clyde the other day when he was going to the hospital, I said, you know, sometimes God will send you to the hospital so you can witness to people. What did he do, Clyde? He had you witnessing to people, didn't he? Yeah. I mean, you know, God knows what he's doing, folks. And if we will get in tune with him, get in harmony with him, we'll find that we'll fulfill whatever purpose he has. You know, when I went over to see Kathy, when she was in the hospital before, the last time, this sister came in there, and this lady had given up her job. She had some pretty good jobs. She had given up her job because she felt like the Lord wanted her to come to the hospital and serve people. And you know, sometimes God will make you give everything away because he wants you to do something else. And she said that the Lord had basically told her to do that. And while we were there, the Lord gave me a prophetic word for her, you know. And she said, oh, I thank you so much. She said, I've needed this so bad. And I'm not going to tell you what the prophetic word was, but it was that God was going to really use her tremendously. And he was already using her, but that was just the beginning. Because she had been obedient, he was going to begin to open things up way greater than that. And I'm going to tell you what, I was up at up in this side of town at the dollar store with Margaret. We like to go in the dollar store. You can get stuff cheap there once in a while. But we was driving past, and this woman driving by, she rolled down the window, and she said, hey, hey. And, you know, and I thought, who was that? And Margaret says, well, that was that woman that was over at the hospital. She was all excited because she saw us. But you know what? God knows what he's doing, folks. He knows what he's doing. Okay, well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I'm going to let Robert come up, and he wanted to say something. Didn't you want to say something? All right, come right ahead. And then I'm going to ask you guys to come up, and I'm going to pray over you before you leave. Okay? Go right ahead. I'm just trying to get out of your way here. Here, you have to do that or take this here.
Put it here.
Just flip it on your shirt. I'll stick this in your pocket here.
Okay.
It won't go in your pocket, so you'll have to clip it. Just clip it on the outside of your pocket here.
Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, I'll start talking. There you go. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, yes, ashimwe cyane.
Praise the Lord.
Twifuje kugira icyo tuvuga mbere yuko wenda tugenda.
We just wanted to say something before we leave.
Kandi.
I should have gave you the mic because
you're
the interpreter. Let's give him the mic.
Okay, I probably can get
Yeah, let's do a little change here, a little technical difficulty here.
Okay. Yeah, this is a walk.
Yeah. Stick it on your shirt.
All right. Oh, man.
There, squeezes.
Okay.
There we go.
Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you.
You're all set there.
Thank you.
A little technical difficulty.
Yeah, kuko twari tubivuze.
Just like I said,
we
wanted to thank God. For the full year we have been here in this church. We thank God who had guided us to come here to this church. There are many churches around, but we thank God that it was His will that we come to this church, that we may be together in this short time, so that what God has prepared for us all, that we might share it together. As we know, God's kingdom sometimes moves. Sometimes God might put you in a place for a certain time, and then He might move you to a different place according to His will. The God who has brought us here, we thank Him. We also want to thank you as a church. You have shown us a kind and a love. You have shown us love in many ways. You have taught us the Word of God. There are not a whole lot of places you can hear the pure Word of God nowadays. But it's always a blessing to be somewhere you can hear the Word of God. Every time the Word of God was shared, we felt loved. And you made us free to ask any question. We thank God for all this time. You have taken care of the children as teaching them the Word of God. You have come to our family. We saw the love of God through you, but when you came to our families, we have seen the love of God through you, through what you did. We really know that we are on your heart. The voice of God is very, very strong. It's more stronger than the zone or the place you are in at the time. We didn't feel like we needed to go anywhere. But because the word of God tells us to always hear and respect and listen to the voice of God. That is the reason why we probably not gonna be here anymore. You are yourself a witness. We did not hopefully cause any problem. We want to thank you, greatly thank you. And we like to remind you that we are around and we are with you. Please don't forget us. We are not gonna forget you guys. Whenever we're gonna meet, wherever we're gonna meet, we're gonna show the love you guys showed us. You probably gonna meet all these young men grown up, maybe around the town. Please remember that they were part of you, your family here. We know that you probably gonna visit us one day. We are just around. And we're gonna come back here one day. We always, when we have a time, we're gonna come stop by. Oh, please remember that we are part of one body of Christ. And you please understand that we have you guys on our heart as well. There is nothing we can do to pay back more than just loving you guys. You sometimes can offer somebody something, but the thing you offer will one day finish or will not be there anymore. But the love you can offer to somebody, that will stay forever. I'm speaking here by myself. Please understand that this comes from all these people who are sitting here. Anybody who might be given time, we say the same thing. This is not my own thought. To finish, we actually thought about we have a lot of small tree. The tree means hope. We hope that you guys keep on strong with your hopes, because the God who called you, He is a faithful God. He will forever do what He promised to do. Don't ever think that, oh, we gonna be less people maybe now, or maybe think about your strength you have. When you have hope, God will always work on people through the hope, and people will accomplish whatever God planned. Maybe through these people, some of them might come back and keep on the hope. Please keep on the hope. That's our wish. We hope to hear that you are strong in hope. And we wish that you hear that our hope is very strong in the Lord. That's what strengthens us through this journey. Please bring the tree. We wish that you will remember through this tree. Well, this tree will probably be somewhere. Please remember us. Pray for us. We didn't want to maybe just leave without leaving something that you guys might look at and think about us one day. There are word of God here on these papers. We wish that you can read the Word of God. The kids have written stuff for the teachers. Please read it. And please keep it somewhere. We want you guys to remember us, and we will remember you. The tree stays. It will be there. That's why we don't want to disappear in your hearts. We want you guys to have us in your heart. Please, if you have something in event, invite us. We be happy to come. And we also we invite you if we have something. So that our love we stay. We really don't know why God called us to come to this church. And we don't know why God brought us here for the time we're here. That's why we think it's something very important. May God bless you. And God strengthen you. We be around and we see each other. Let me call for everybody to come stand here. We're gonna stand here. If anybody wanna take a photo.
Yeah, you have. So nimurangiza pastor muze kudusenga.
Then pastor we pray for us.
Yeah, murakoze cyane.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And thank you so much. We hand you the tree.
Thank you.
Oh, hari imbere. Okay. He said, we want to walk on him. So we want to hand you the tree.
Well, let's take a couple pictures, you guys.
First. Okay, so okay. Yeah. She's got to be a part of it. Right? Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Yeah. All right. We love Brother Oscar to pray for us, or maybe everybody.
Would that matter?
Thank you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Let me climb down out of here. Praise God. Anybody that wants to come up and pray for him, you guys feel free. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Father, we just bring this whole group before you, Father. We know that you brought them here by the will of God. We know that you've planted some seeds in their heart from being here, and those seeds will bring forth some 30, some 60, but we want them to bring forth 100-fold. We ask for 100-fold blessing upon every one of this group. I ask you to just let your whole will and purpose and what you're calling them to do be fulfilled. Let your anointing rest on them. Let them draw people to themselves that whatever your plans are here, Father, that they can be fulfilled, and give them an ear to hear what your Spirit would speak unto them, and to move in the assurance. And sometimes God says go, and he don't tell you where you're going. And sometimes he says stay, and then he says stay, you got to stay. You got to do whatever he tells you to do. But you know, I just ask for a special blessing upon all these people, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I ask that your anointing would rest on each one of them, especially all of these children here, Father. They're going to grow up and be mighty, mighty warriors for you in the kingdom of God. They're going to speak with love, and they're going to speak with a compassion that will set the captives free. In Jesus' name, I ask it right now. Amen, amen. I'm going to give you a word, and I'm going to for you, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to let your anointing rest on this young lady. I ask you to just loose her lips that she can speak the word of God, because I believe you have a special calling on her life. You have a calling that there's going to be a prophetic anointing on her. When she speaks, it's going to be an anointing word that will set the captives free, that will encourage, will build up, and sometimes even tear down, Father, because sometimes your word is also to tear down. But I ask you to just let that anointing rest on her, and I call it forth in the name of Jesus. I call it forth in the name of Jesus, everything that you have in her life. She has such a joy in her heart anyway. But Father, you're going to just bring forth just a tremendous word out of this young lady. And I ask you to just help her to be obedient and not hold back when you draw her to say something or draw her to do something. Let her be obedient and let your spirit so flow through her in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord. God bless you. All these young men, Father, that's standing out here, I pray for these young men, because as they go through the schools and stuff, that you keep your hand of anointing on them and that you protect them. You have special things for each one of their lives, Father. You're going to help them in sports and stuff, but it's not only going to be in sports, because they're going to be a witness for you no matter where you send them or where they go. And Father, in Jesus' name right now, I ask the special anointing on them. And I ask you to just bless each one of them. And all these children, Father, all these little children. You know, sometimes we think that because somebody's a little child, that they don't have a great power. But I'm going to tell you what. He said a little child will lead them.
Yeah.
And sometimes let them speak the wisdom of God and speak the anointing of God. And Father, you love the little children. And he said, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And Father, in Jesus' name, I ask a blessing upon each one of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On the mothers over there, Father, let your anointing rest on those mothers, that they could fulfill your purposes in ministering even to the children. Because I tell you, mother's love, it's the closest thing to God's love there is. And I just ask you, Father, to just anoint each one of them. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit rest upon them. And I give you all praise and glory. And for the men of this group here, Father, I pray a special anointing on them, that they could speak your word and that they could fulfill the purposes that you've called them to do, and that you open doors as you open them and you close doors as you close them, Father. Let them step through the door when you open it, and when the door's closed, let them back away from the door, because you are the door, Father. In Jesus' name, I praise you, I thank you, and I just ask a special blessing upon the whole group here today, Father. And we release them in the name of Jesus.
Yes, yes.
We release them out into whatever you've called them to do. We're not going to try to explain it or figure it out, but we're going to just release them into your presence, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The Lord wants me to say something to you, men. A year ago, you went into the back room with some of us. And the question people wanted me to ask is, what brought you here? And by the way, the answer was correct. You felt like the Lord was leading you here. And I'll tell you what, I've rejoiced ever since. Of course, where the Lord leads you, He will feed you, and He will take care of all that you own. And He will multiply, because obedience is better than sacrifice, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And where you go, I know not, but I know who goes with you and leads you.
Amen.
And He who leads you will continue to lead you all the days of your life. And when you said that we might forget you, not in this lifetime.
No.
And I'm speaking for the lifetime beyond this time.
Praise God.
For Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Ghost, we invite you to lead and guide this entire family, that, Lord, your will would be done, and they would be that will which you willed. No doubt, no trouble, no problem. In your hand is your plan, and they're all in your hand.
Amen.
Be glorified in the name of Jesus.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
It's a mystery to me. These two little girls showed up one day for Sunday school,
and just tears were flowing. I don't know why. I think it's the love of God.
Yeah.
You know, it just came from them to me and me to them.
Praise the Lord.
And I've cried since then, too, and they, why are you crying? I don't know, but I love you. Yeah, I think you're wonderful. You have such a sense of community and caring for each other that Americans can learn from you, yes. I tell you.
Amen.
God bless you, everyone.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
John, it's been an honor to play music with you on Sunday. There's such beautiful talent, and times it's beautiful and humbling to watch how music can translate or transcend even language. I would just encourage you to keep pushing it. I feel the Holy Spirit every time I play with you. It's been a total honor. I want to speak for all. Sam and Randy, it's been a blessing. I love you guys.
Praise God. Well, God bless you all.
Thank you, thank you. We hand you the
tree. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Sorry. On your head. Three on your head. I tell you what, let's sit it down on the floor right there, if you don't mind. We'll take it out.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that. God bless you.
No problem.
And we will definitely think about you every time we look at
it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Give me a hug.
Thank you.
Everybody's in my way.
Just Sean.
Thank you.
I always tell people when they do that, you're on the